Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather this morning to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this fourth Sunday of Eastertide, Shepherd Sunday, it is called. Just to remind you all to please make sure that you diligently go read the bulletin as well as go to our webpage to stay abreast of what's going on in Olney Presbyterian Church. Just want to remind our Bible study that we will be having Bible study this Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. So I know it's been a few weeks since we have been able to do that, but we will be gathering at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study, resuming it this week.
Our New Testament reading this morning is from Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. Hear the word of God. On the morrow, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem with Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had seen them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a cripple, by what means this man has been healed, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, but which has become the head of the corner. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved."
This morning, I want to add another scripture reading. It's actually the epistle reading that was assigned for this Sunday. It's 1 John chapter 3, 16, verses 16 through 24. It's found on page 1066 of your pew Bibles. So let us listen to God's word for us. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who keep his commandments abide in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit which he has given us." Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from chapter 10 of John's Gospel, beginning at verse 10 and reading through verse 18. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there shall be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And this charge I have received from my Father. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Today is the fourth Sunday in Eastertide, and the fourth Sunday is always Shepherd Sunday. Bill was asking me earlier, what's Shepherd Sunday? I've never heard of that. Well, it's the fourth Sunday of every Easter is always Shepherd Sunday, because the readings always have to do with something with shepherds. You may have discerned that earlier. Our call of worship was a paraphrase of Psalm 23, that iconic psalm that begins with God is my shepherd. And of course, our gospel lesson this morning was from John 10, where we are reminded that Jesus is the good shepherd. Indeed, that's what Shepherd Sunday is all about. It's a reminder to us of who our shepherd is, that God is our shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. And so we celebrate this morning, this fourth Sunday in Eastertide, as Shepherd Sunday. In the ancient world, of course, a shepherd was a metaphor for a leader or a king. And kings were tasked with leading and guiding the people so that they might thrive and flourish. And some leaders and kings really did try hard to do that, but for the most part, many of them failed. They failed because, for the most part, they weren't interested in the people's flourishing so much as they were interested in their own. And so instead of being good, reliable shepherds of the people, they acted more like thieves and bandits, exploiting the people, manipulating people, ripping people off. But this morning, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the shepherd that is good. The Greek word there could also be interpreted as beautiful shepherd. I am the beautiful shepherd. I am the ideal shepherd. I am the model shepherd. I am the good shepherd, because I came so that they may have life and have it in abundance. That's what we all want, isn't it? Abundant life. Not just a little bit of life, not just sufficient life, not just life that is barely getting by, but an abundant life, life that is filled and overflowing. And that's the life that the Good Shepherd this morning comes to bring each and every one of us. He comes to bring us life, and life in abundance. It's always important to understand what Jesus is talking about when he talks about an abundant life, because we have a tendency to misunderstand him. We have a tendency sometimes to get it wrong. But first of all, when Jesus talks about an abundant life, he's not necessarily talking about going to heaven when we die. We have a tendency sometimes to spiritualize the promises of God away and kind of postponing them until after we die. I think we do that because we lack faith and trust that God's promises can be fulfilled on this side of death. But Jesus reminds us that he comes so that we might have life. Not just after we die, not just in heaven, but he comes so that we might begin to have life right now, begin to have life in the midst of this world. Of course, it's true that when our time here on earth is over and we go to our heavenly reward, that God has planned for us things that are too wonderful to be imagined. As the Apostle Paul says, eye has not seen nor ear heard of things that God has prepared for those who love him. But the abundant life that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, came to bring us is about this world. It's for this world. It is in the midst of this world with all of its problems and all of its difficulties that Jesus says that he came so that we might begin to live now in abundance. We also need to make clear that when Jesus talks about abundant life, that he's not talking about having a lot of possessions. You know, that's one of the ways that our consumer-oriented culture defines abundant life, having lots and lots of material things and defining our sense of worth and well-being by how much we can accumulate and how much we consume. Unfortunately, some of that thinking has found its way in the church. It's found its way among God's people. Things like prosperity gospel, which promises that God wants to make us rich and prosperous. It's a very individualistic theology that mirrors our culture of consumption and possessions. But the abundant life that Jesus comes to bring us, the abundant life that the Good Shepherd comes to lead us into is not about trying to possess more and more material things. Of course, it's true that God is very much concerned about our material well-being. In fact, whenever the Spirit of God is active and present, there is always enough to meet people's material needs. There's always enough of what we need. There's enough food, there's enough shelter, there's enough healing, there's always enough. God always wants us to have what we need to live and to flourish, but the abundant life that Jesus comes to share with us is not about possessing and grasping after material things. And neither is the abundant life that the Good Shepherd comes to bring us about safety. Sometimes I think we can become so obsessed with being safe that we are not willing to take any risk. We want God to protect us in our closed-in pastures, protect us from all the threats that might be out there in the world awaiting, protect us from all the predators and help us to be safe. But the abundant life that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, comes to bring us is not about being safe. It's about being faithful. And so Jesus says he is the Good Shepherd who comes so that we might have life. And have that life in abundance. But if the abundant life that Jesus is talking about, if it's not about going to heaven if we die, and if it's not about having lots and lots of material things, and if it's not about being safe and secure, then what exactly is it? What is the abundant life that the Good Shepherd comes to bring to us? Well, the abundant life that Jesus comes to bring us is life that has God at the center of it. Life that has the goodness of God at the center of it. Life, in other words, that is characterized by the self-giving, sacrificial love of God. That's what Jesus says this morning. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd because I lay down my life for the sheep. That's part of what it means for Jesus to be good. That's part of what it means for Jesus to be the beautiful one. That's part of what it means for Jesus to be the exemplar and the model shepherd. He is the one who comes to lay down his life for all of us. I'm sure we've all heard the phrase, you know, that's above my pay grade. That's not the job that I was called to do. That job is one that's a little risk, asking me to risk a little too much. It's not my pay grade, not my job. That's the logic of a hireling, of a hired hand. The hired hand doesn't care about the sheep. The hired hand doesn't love the flock. The hired hand is just in it for a paycheck. The hired hand could care less about what happens to the flock when the wolf or the bear presents itself, when the danger presents itself. The hired hand says, I'm out of here. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I'm not just a hired hand. I'm the shepherd who loves the people. I'm the shepherd who loves the flock. I'm the shepherd who comes to lead the people into flourishing and thriving. I am the good shepherd. I'm the shepherd who lays my life down for the flourishing of the sheep. I know many people who don't like this pastoral language. They don't like the language of shepherds, and especially the language of sheep, and I understand why, because they don't like being likened to sheep or compared to sheep. Sheep are not the most appealing creatures out there. They're not very smart. They get lost easy. And they're usually easy prey for all kinds of predators. All kinds of predators out there. You know, sheep are sometimes easy prey. Sometimes they follow the wrong voices. And so a lot of people don't like to be compared to sheep. But I think the real reason that we don't like this pastoral language and this pastoral image is because being sheep reminds us that we don't belong to ourselves. It reminds us that we belong to someone. It reminds us that we belong to each other. And we belong to our shepherd, the good shepherd. And it's his voice that we are called to hear amidst all the voices out there in our world and in our society. The voice of love, the voice of giving, the voice of sharing, the voice that orients us towards our neighbor. That's the beginning of the abundant life that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, comes to bring us. I am the Good Shepherd, he says. I lay down my life for the sheep. And to be followers of the Good Shepherd means that we too are called to lay down our lives for each other, to give of ourselves for each other. I realize this morning I'm preaching to the choir. You already know that. You already do that. That's the kind of life you already live, but still we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded not only of who our shepherd is, but we need to be reminded of the character and the nature of the abundant life that he comes to lead us into. The life of sacrificial, self-giving love for others. Because that's the beginning of true thriving and flourishing. The leaders and the rulers of our world are still there vying to be our shepherds. They're still there presenting their visions of the good life, their visions of what abundant life is before us. They're still asking us to listen to their voices. But their vision of abundant life is just as confused as ever. It's just as wanting as ever. It's not a life that includes everyone. It's a life that still leads to war and conflict and exclusion. A vision that leaves many, many people out. The shepherds of the world, the shepherds that would seek to lead us, very often have their own well-being before them. A well-being that they put before the well-being of the flock. Some of those voices are loud and convincing. But Jesus says that his sheep know his voice, that he knows his sheep and the sheep know him, and that we are to listen for his voice, listen for him, because he is the good shepherd. He is the shepherd that has our best interest at heart. He is the only shepherd that could lead us to true flourishing. He is the good shepherd. He He is the shepherd who truly loves the flock. Loves the flock so much that he lays his life down on behalf of the flock. And he reminds us that if we want to be a part of his fold, then that's the character and nature of our own way of life. Because that's what leads to abundance and thriving. Jesus says he has the power to lay his life down and the power to take it up again. But it's a reminder that self-giving, sacrificial love leads to thriving. It's not a dead end, as some people might think, but it's the only way that leads to true thriving, and that's true for us too. When we love each other, when we share what we have, when we go out of our way to make sure that everyone has what they need, when we seek out the lost, when we show compassion to the marginalized, when we listen intently to the cries of those who are mired in suffering, when we seek to live in the way that Jesus himself lived, it's not a dead end, but it's the beginning of new life. It's the beginning of flourishing. And that's what the shepherds of the world won't tell you. Their voices are always the voices that seek to divide, the voices that tell us to look out for ourselves, the voices that want to establish boundaries, the voices that want to close in on ourselves and neglect everyone else. The voices that encourage us to go out and try to possess more and more things. The voices that think that it can get what it gets by dominating and controlling other people. Jesus says, look out for those voices. Look out for those shepherds. I am the good shepherd. I am the one who comes to bring you not just life, but abundant life. Life that is filled to the rim with the kind of love for each and every one of you and the love for the world that only comes from the God who created this world and who loves this world and has already undertaken to redeem the world in our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. May you and I continue to listen for the voice of the shepherd as he leads us into flourishing and thriving. May we beware of all of those other shepherds who would seek us to take another path. May we remember the one who came into our midst to show us what it really means to live because he shows us what it really means to love, which is to lay down our lives for each other. Let us pray. Gracious God, you called us this morning to be your people. You've called us this morning to listen for your voice as you call us out of the world to follow you to abundant life, follow you to flourishing and to thriving. Be with us, Lord. Be with us as we continue to live as your people. Be with us as you flow your Holy Spirit through our hearts. Help us to bear witness to who you are in a world that is desperately seeking to know what it means to truly live. Help us too to love each other as you have loved all of us. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.